are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Outspoken Radio with Donnie and friends right here on LA Talk Radio.
That's right, everyone. You're listening to Outspoken Radio right here on LA Talk Radio, where we come to you live every Monday night at 7 p.m. I am Donnie Meacham.
And I'm Rebecca Tripp.
And we are back this Monday. So first of all, we just want to throw out there a little disclaimer that Becca will
Tell you guys. So just a heads up. I'm usually, you know, super witty, sharp, awesome on top of it. I had a little dental work done, so I am on Vicodin. So I don't normally do that. Donnie drove me to the studio today, yes. So nobody worry about my health or my safety because I'm fine. But so if I say anything weird or do any kind of other shit that makes you be like, what is Becca thinking? It's because I'm on Vicodin.
She's on Vicodin. All right, guys. So joining us, we have a fun show for you guys tonight. But joining us first, we have teacher and author Danny Kofke with the book How to Survive and Perhaps Thrive on a Teacher's Salary. Welcome to the show, Danny.
Welcome, Danny.
Hey, Donnie, Rebecca. Thanks so much for having me on.
No problem. So you're in Georgia, right?
Yes. About an hour outside of Atlanta.
My mom lives in Augusta, Georgia.
Okay.
So when I recognized the 706 phone number, I was like, oh, it's an Augusta phone number. So yeah, my whole family lives in Georgia. I went to elementary school in Marietta, Georgia. Okay. So I know all about the Georgia school system.
And Marietta is my mom's first name. So look, we're all linked. We're all linked together. Thanks for joining us today, Danny. We appreciate it.
I'm looking forward to it. I think this should be fun.
Yeah. So out there, you wrote a book called How to Survive and Perhaps Thrive on a Teacher Salary. And what is startling to me is when I was like Googling this, you know, kind of doing a little research in the book and everything, I come across a survey that said 50% of new teachers leave the profession in 5 years due to poor working conditions and low salary. I mean, that's startling.
Oh, it was. I mean, that was part of the reason why I wrote the book. It was at the urging of some colleagues. They said, you know, you really know what you're doing financially. You should do it to help us out. And then, you know, after I decided to do it, I was doing some research. And, yeah, that study was done. It was a few years ago by the National Education Association. So, you know, that numbers might have changed a little bit now because most people aren't quitting their jobs. If, you know, if they have a job, you know, they're holding on to it. But, yeah, it was very, very interesting for me to see that. And, I mean, I kind of understand where they're coming from because in years past, not right now, I mean, right now is kind of a weird time, but, you know, usually you have someone that goes to college, gets a bachelor's degree, you know, in teaching, and then their friend gets it in something else, and then, you know, you get into teaching, and especially the first couple of years, they're very, very difficult for a lot of people just because of the demands and the testing and everything, and then you're thinking, gosh, I'm making, you know, $35,000, $40,000 a year, and here's my buddy who graduated with me that's, you know, making $80,000 a year, and, you know, I'm going to get out of this and make more money, and I think, you know, that is why that stat was so high that, you know, half of people quit within 5 years, and you know, they were trying to do, and teaching, you know, from the outside world, I know every job can be difficult, but, you know, like I said, that first year of teaching especially, it's just like you're thrown into the fire, and I can understand why people just say, gosh, you know, I'm not going to do this for the low pay that I'm getting. I'm going out, and I'm going to make more money and, you know, maybe not have as much stress.
Yeah, I can see that. It's sad, though, that the reality is that, you know, teaching and education as a whole, for the most part, isn't, it seems like it's not, you know, our biggest priority.
Oh, of course not. No, it is. And it really hasn't been forever. I mean, of course, I'm going to feel a little biased being a teacher.
Yeah.
But, you know, it definitely is not. And I'm not, you know, I don't know if more pay is the magic formula to do it. But, I mean, I may be in the minority amongst teachers. And, you know, it's kind of a big issue right now. But I'm kind of for the merit pay. And I'm kind of okay with, if someone does a great job as a teacher, that they should be rewarded, because I think then we would have more teachers stay in the profession that were good teachers. The way the teaching salary is right now, it's based on how many years you have in. So you could have someone that has taught 25 years, and you could have someone that's a third-year teacher, and the teacher that taught 25 years could, you know, not be a good teacher at all, not even teaching great lessons, whereas a third-year teacher could be doing dynamic things with their class, but the veteran teacher is going to get paid more money. So I think, you know, that too, the unfairness of it, of people that look at that and they think, gosh, I'm busting my tail in here and I'm doing all I can, and, you know, someone up the hall from me that has seniority on me really isn't doing much and they're getting paid more money. I think people see that too and then get out of the profession.
Well, and I think too, the classroom these days is a place that is, you know, we just had a lot of bullying issues in the news not too long ago. It can be a really hostile environment. And I think that you definitely have to have some sort of incentive to keep teachers in the classroom, to keep teachers interested, to keep teachers, you know, working and operating at the top level, because it's a tough job. I give teachers, I have a lot of friends who are teachers, and I give them a lot of credit and have a lot of respect for them, because you have, you're molding the minds of the future. Incredibly difficult.
Right. And most people get into teaching because of the passion for it. I mean, most people aren't, you know, they don't say, gosh, I'm going to become a teacher to make a lot of money. Over time, you can. And, you know, it's hard to complain right now with so many people hurting. But most agree that teaching, you know, you don't make a large salary per se. So you do have to have the passion for it a lot. You know, a lot of people do to get into the profession in the first place. But it is, I mean, the burnout rate, you do it. The things that we deal with now, it's not just a teacher, but, you know, you can be a dad or mom, or, you know, you're the mentor, you're everything to some of these kids that have nothing. So, you know, it is, it can be very overwhelming, especially at first. And then, you know, you look at the paycheck and you think, goodness, what am I doing? And, you know, that's where I can understand why that happens. But hopefully it's changing a little bit. And I think, you know, maybe over time, if they can get the mess straightened out in the education system and, you know, do something. I know with that new documentary, The Waiting for Superman, maybe, you know, there's going to be some changes that will, you know, help the better teachers and keep them in the profession so we can, you know, hopefully educate our youth and make our country a lot stronger.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's sad that, I mean, there's other countries out there, like China and all them. They're all progressing in education much faster than we are. And we really have to do something to kind of bring the focus back to, you know, educating the youth. Therefore, because they are the future, they will be leading the country one day.
Right. Well, it's the motivation factor, too. I mean, if you're in India or China, I mean, you're under communist rule in China and India, you know, you could have horrible working conditions. It's like, you know what? My way out of this is a good education and, you know, to be smart and to outperform anyone. So that's a huge motivating factor. Yeah. Whereas here, you know, the big push, since I've been in the classroom now 11 years, it's the big self-esteem push where we don't want to hurt any feelings. And, I don't want to squash a kid and make them feel bad, but, I mean, it's gotten to the point now, whether you finish in first place or 30th place, you get the same trophy because we don't want to hurt any feelings. And, you know, we kind of constantly have to boost the self-esteem. And I don't know, I'm sorry, that's just not the way the world works when we get out there. Sometimes I think we're doing our children a disservice by, you know, constantly just trying to improve their self-esteem. I think it's great if you can, but I don't think for, you know, improving it by giving them false, you know, praise,
yeah,
that doesn't do anything for them once they hit the real world and then they realize, gosh, it's a lot harder than I ever was taught it would be. So I think that's another huge factor, too, is just the motivating factor of, you know, if you have someone that, you know, in order to get out from communist rule, they got to get a good education compared to someone who, you know, a bad day for them is if their iPod dies. I mean, it's just a little skewed. So I think, you know, maybe we'll go and I think the recession, it might be a positive in that effect, too, where there are parents right now that don't have the money to give, and they finally are able to say, no, we can't do this, and tell their children no, and maybe that is going to have a plus effect, too, where kids are at least seeing that, you know what, you don't always necessarily get what you want, and sometimes you have to work for it, too.
Yeah, I feel like that's a really good point, because I think that that's gone away, that we've gone away from that. I think, like, when I was little, I remember my mom used to give me a dollar, and she would say, we'd go to the mall on, like, Saturday, and she'd say, you have this dollar, and you have to find something that costs a dollar or less, because I'm right. Not going to give you anything else. You know, it's like, it teaches budgeting. You know, there's other right. lessons to be learned other than just, you know, spend your money wisely. But I think that you're right. I think it's kind of the recession that we're in is forcing people to get back to, like, the basics of parenting and education. And,
right.
And I think that that's what's so great about your book, is you're really you're taking a really negative situation and you're making it positive, and you're empowering teachers by saying, look, you can still follow your passion and still have a career that you're passionate about, and this is how you do it.
Right, and that's, you know, where I wanted to go. And actually, you know, now, not with just teachers, but with the economy being what it is, and when it started to crash, I thought, let's just, you know, maybe extend it out to other people that have a similar income to teachers, police officers, nurses, mm-hmm. firefighters, small business owners, you know, people that get into the career because of the passion first and foremost, and just give them some hope, because I feel that bad news does nothing but bring people down. I mean, I know it sells, but, you know, when we turn on the TV and that's the first thing we see is how bad it is, or we open the newspaper and that's the first thing, a lot of people become depressed and they say, gosh, you know, if this guy can't do it, well, there's no way that I can. And that's where I just want to, you know, kind of give the opposite message of, yes, you can do it. You know, the school teacher, I'm 35 years old, wife stays at home, we have two kids, no debt except our mortgage, and, you know, I'm not a financial expert, not a financial major, but we have most of it figured out, and if I can do it, then you can too.
Definitely. And going back to a little bit of what Becca was saying about how, you know, her mom gave her a budget, that's one of the fine points in your book, is that you need to establish a weekly budget for yeah. yourself and your spending.
Right, right. And, you know, some people, you know, refer to it as a spending plan or, you know, whatever. Some people don't like the budget word. They think it's like a diet. But, yeah, you got to have some way of knowing how much money you can spend. And I think, you know, we are in this habit for so long of, you know, if we run out of money, well, we can always tap the equity in our house. That'll always go up every year, or we're going to get a raise every year. And you know what? It's not reality anymore. Those mm-hmm. things aren't happening for a lot of people. So you do have to have some sort of plan, a budget, a spending plan, whatever you want to call it, so you know exactly where your money is going. Because for most people, you know, I mean, having a house you can't afford or driving too fancy of a car, I mean, that's a given. You're going to get into financial trouble with that over time. But I think for a lot of people, it's just those day-to-day items that they spend money on that they don't realize, you know, how much money they're actually blowing when you add it up over the course of a month or a year. Mm-hmm. And I think that is huge, that when you do have a budget and you do have a plan, then sometimes you can eliminate some of those unnecessary things that you're spending money on and, you know, in tune, put more money back in your wallet.
Mm-hmm. And it kind of goes on something else. Like I mean, there's your book focuses on fine points, and I think that you know, going back to saying, you also, one of your points is you can save, you know, save a little each day. Like, I know, right. I watched one interview you were saying, and it little things that hit me. It's like, you know, people buying a Diet Coke at a vending machine you used, and it's like, you can go to the store, you buy a 12-pack, you bring the Diet Coke with you, therefore you're saving money. It might not seem like a lot, but over time it adds up.
Right. I mean, you know, I see teachers even at school, they go to the vending machine and they buy their Cokes and it's like a dollar. Mm-hmm. You buy a 12-pack, you know, maybe you save, you know, 70 cents a day. Mm-hmm. It doesn't sound like much, but you add that up over the course of a week. That's like $3.50 a week, so $7 every 2 weeks, you know, so $14 a month. So you just can kind of keep going, and that's just one item. So that's the thing. If you look at everything that you're spending, and that's actually the first thing that I tell people to do when they are having financial trouble, is just try it for 1 month. Walk around with a piece of paper and a pencil and write down everything you spend or everything you buy, any money you spend, write it down. Then at the end of the month, you're able to look at this paper and you can analyze it in black and white. It just shows exactly where you spent your money. It's not lying to you. It's your handwriting. So then you can see, and you'd be surprised. I mean, there's a lot of people, you go to the movies a couple times a month, or, you know, you do this, or you go to Target and you buy something, or whatever. And there's, most of us have something in our lives that we're overspending on. I mean, especially right now, you know, I notice with a lot of people, it's the cell phones. And, I mean, if you need a cell phone for work and you need constant connection with the Internet, okay, and you can afford it, have at it. But I've talked to people, stay-at-home moms, that say they don't have any money, but yet they have iPhones and they're always on the Internet.
Yeah.
And I think you do have the money. You're just choosing to spend it this way. So I think when at least you're able to write down your expenses, then you can totally analyze, you know, where your money actually is being spent, and then if you, you know, can find ways to cut back, you'll put more money back in your bank account.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a super good point. Do you have, I'm curious as to what your overall inspiration was for this. I mean, you've talked a little bit about, you know, things that you try to convey to people and things that have, people that have money problems, you know, the first couple things that you try to, the points that you try to get across to them. What, but you also said you don't have like a degree in finance. What did you get to a certain point where you were like, I really have to sit down and figure out how to get my finances in order? What was it? Was there a catalyst, or was it just something that you've been raised with?
Yeah, I mean, I was lucky that I was raised in a household that we didn't value money. We valued time and family time together. So I kind of got to see that growing up. But, you know, what it was for us is I know I wanted to be a teacher, and, you know, that was my passion. And my wife, Tracy, was a teacher before becoming a stay-at-home mom. So, you know, we knew that, you know, living on teacher salary, especially a single one alone, would be very difficult once we had children. But we both felt very strongly about her being able to stay at home. So that's kind of, you know, when we got married, we had a plan, and we, you know, it's ultimately, you know, after man upstairs when the children are going to come. But, you know, we had a figure, okay, in a few years we're going to start trying to have kids. And, you know, it happened, but during the time that Tracy was working, we pretty much lived like we were on one salary. Even though times were good, friends were going out all the time, saying come out, and, you know, we did some things, but we just, you know, did it in moderation. We didn't do it all. And, you know, that was it. The goal, you know, and it was hard. I mean, people made fun of us. I rode my bike to work sometimes. I mean, it wasn't, you know, easy, but we knew at the end of the road, this is the goal we were working on. We wanted Tracy to be able to stay at home and give us that freedom. So, you know, that was kind of the motivating factor. And it's just, you know, we just felt like that's what is right for our family. I mean, some people are fine with both people working and, you know, having fancy cars and everything. And that's, you know, fine. Have at it. It's, you know, whatever. But for us, what makes our family right is the situation we're in right now. Whereas, you know, I'm lucky that I do have, you know, good family time. I get home at a decent time. I have, you know, it's not all summer off anymore, but, you know, we have some time off in the summer, Christmas break. So it's just a good, you know, a good fit for what is right for our family. And, you know, that's what kind of keeps us going. And that's why we work so hard to put ourselves in the position that we're in now.
Yeah, I think the point that I think that is the most important, and it's not even anything that you stress, but it's the thing that stood out the most to me, is that you really make good choices. And I think that that is something that a lot of people don't put a lot of stock into. You know, you mentioned, you know, the people who, women who are stay-at-home moms who have iPhones. You know, it's all about where you choose to put your money. It's all about whether you choose to go out 5 times a week as opposed to 2 times a week with your friends. It's about these choices that you make that are so integral in how your future is going to play out.
Oh, definitely. And that's the thing. You know, people will look at us sometimes and they'll say, gosh, you know, it must be hard being, you know, you don't get to go out and do all these things. And, you know, I say, you know, we're actually, you know, very lucky because we have the freedom to do what we want. I have the freedom to have a job that I love, even though it doesn't pay a large salary. And better yet, Tracy's able to stay at home and raise our children. So that, to me, is freedom rather than having all these things. And you're right, it's all about the choices. We, you know, I'm like anyone. If I see someone driving a Mercedes or BMW, of course I want it. It looks great. I would love to have that. But, you know, and we come home and I'll say, I can have that if I want to. But this is what's going to have to happen. Either A, I'm going to have to get out of teaching and get a higher paying job. B, I'm going to have to get a second job and I'm never going to see my family. Mm-hmm. Or C, Tracy's going to have to go back to work. And in the 6 years that she's been a stay-at-home mom, so far there has not been one materialistic item that has, you know, made us want to change the way we are currently living. So I think it is. It's about the choices. And maybe it just tricks us and we realize, okay, you know, it's just a play on words. But I do feel that, you know, we can have it if we want it, but this is what's going to have to change. And that's, you know, that's the reason why so many people got in trouble financially, is that they just wanted it all but didn't want to have to make the changes that went along with getting that desired object.
Yeah.
That's very great. That's just inspirational things. I mean, it's just putting the focus back on family time in general, which I think is missing in today's society. I think a lot of people are so wrapped up in trying to, you know, focus on a career that they're less focusing on more just family time and hanging out with your kids and getting to know your kids and
core values.
Yeah, core values.
Where can people find your book, Danny?
You know, probably the easiest way, if you just Google search my name, so DannyKof as in Frank, K-E, usually the first page that comes up is my blog page, so there's a direct link to order it there, but it's also on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and then a few other stores, too, online.
And you can also go to www.tatepublishing.com,
yes.
And you can look it up through there.
And that blog that you were talking about, it's www.danny, D-A-N-N-Y, K-O-F as in Frank, K-E.blogspot.com.
Yep, and you can learn all different things about me, too.
Awesome.
Well, we want to thank you very much, Dani, for coming on here and just giving us a little insight. And I think that, and I think in times now that, you know, every little bit can help. And I think it, just hearing different ways that people do it, you know, will spark something in somebody out there listening going, I never even thought about that. And so that's great. And I appreciate you coming on.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me on, guys.
Awesome.
Yay, thank
well,
you,
have
Dani.
A good night, Dani.
All right. You too.
Take care. Right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, all right. He was super fun. And it's true, though. I mean, you never think about just little things like that. I mean, I know that I overspend at Coffee Bean every week.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, I rationalize it because that's my only vice.
Right. Well,
you know, I don't smoke. I don't drink. So therefore, I feel like if I want to spend $5 a day on there, I will. But I think that there are times where other expenses could, you know, come in the way that I could do without.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that you say rationalize, but it's not necessarily rationalizing. You're making the choice and you're saying, I choose to indulge myself in this way. Sure. And that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, that I think that's that he pointed out that's good. You can have, you know, like you can have the Mercedes, but you have to make choices. You have to, some things have to be cut in order to achieve that.
That's true. I do want to throw something out there. Something that I use every week. It's a, I don't really know the website right now, but it's called Mint. Like MINT, Mint Financial, and it's a free service. And every week they email me my weekly financial summary, and it's linked up to my bank account, so therefore it knows how much is in my bank account, what I owe it, it's what I owe left on my car and everything. So it kind of puts my financials in order. And what I do is it allows you to set up a budget,
go,
and it's linked to your bank account, so therefore it sees what you spend on your debit card. So it'll email me saying, you know, your budget was $40 on coffee this week, but yet you spent $55. So it'll send you a red thing saying you overspent this week. Or it'll say your budget for this week was, you know, I don't do it every week. I update it just that's what my budget all the time should be. Like, I don't want to spend more than, say, $80 in any given week on clothing. And if I happen to do a purchase, it'll send me saying you went over your budget. You know, so it's just good to kind of see, like, wow, it just puts an perspective, right? Which, and people we'll out there, definitely check out that site.
Mint, we'll have to figure Financial. That out. We'll figure. Is it Mint Financial?
Yeah, it's like Mint Financial.
We'll figure that
so
out.
So definitely figure it out.
We'll figure that out on the break. We'll figure that out on the break. But right now, we are going to play a little song by one of my bestest and most beautiful friends, Sabrina Bernasconi. We've played some of her music on before. This song is called If I Trust You, and Sabrina's doing vocals and I believe some guitar on there. Andy Alt is on there as well. And it is produced by Jose Alcantar. Enjoy.
Awesome. And don't forget, and if you want to add anything to our conversation, you can definitely call us after the song ends at 818-602-4929. Once again, it's 818-602-4929. And we'll be right back with more Outspoken Radio.
Brilliant.
here on LA Talk Radio.
That's right, everyone. We're back with more Outspoken Radio. So I double-checked during the break, and it is www.mint.com, which is that financial service. It just does the budgeting for you. Super easy. It's free budget software. You know, might as well take advantage of it.
Check it out.
Check it out. We're Nicki Minaj. Check it out.
Check it out. She's crazy.
Love her. Her crazy eyes. She has crazy eyes.
She does have crazy eyes. A lot of people have crazy eyes. She has. You mean she has crazy beautiful eyes, not like one that looks at you and one that looks off the left.
Like one's looking at me, one's thinking about me. No, they're big and just beautiful and crazy. But I love her.
I love it. So I am doing something this weekend that I would like to tell y'all about. It is called Step Out LA. It's a walk for diabetes. It's organized by the American Diabetes Association, the ADA. This is a cause that is incredibly near and dear to my heart. It's something that the numbers are rising in terms of the amount of people that have diabetes in the United States alone. So I'm doing a walk at Universal Studios on the back lot on Saturday, the 13th. Walk starts at 9 a.m., so it's going to be real early, girl. Mm. No party in the night before.
No party.
If you guys want to find out more about it, go to www.stepoutla.com. And also, I'm trying to raise as much money as possible for this cause and to raise as much awareness as possible. And if you want to donate to me, or if you're out there and you want to walk with me, I would love to meet new people. So go to stepoutla.com, and then you can search for walkers. And that is, my name is Rebecca, R-E-B-E-K-A-H. Last name is Tripp, T as in Thomas, R-I, P as in Peter, P as in Peter. You search that, and then you can either sponsor me or you can walk with me. And like I said, I would love to have support in all forms. So it's an awesome cause. It really, really is a great thing to support and to get behind. And that's going to be this Saturday. So I'm going to put my walking shoes on. Of course,
walk
be stylish.
It out, girl. Walk it out.
Go see King Kong on the back lot, girl. You know.
Should be real fun.
It's going to be super fun.
All right. So, and just want to throw out there, if you miss any show, don't forget you can go to the archive page at latalkradio.com, and you can just look us up. We're on channel 2, it's Outspoken Radio. And you can also subscribe for free to the podcast at iTunes, and it'll automatically download the shows for you.
Mm-hmm.
I almost said episode again.
But yeah, you did.
I reeled it in. Shows for you. So that's super easy. And don't forget, you can always call us in, talk to us live at 818-602-4929. So last week, the day after we were on, was a big week for the country. It was elections 2010.
Elections, voting. I went and voted.
Yes, I sent in the mail-in ballot.
Oh, I didn't. And I had a mail-in ballot. Like, mm-hmm. I put that down when I got my license.
Mm-hmm.
And so they did mail me stuff, but I was out of town for a couple weeks. So I didn't get a chance to mail it in time. So I went in to vote. And the guy was like, I have down here that you're a mail-in ballot. And I was like, uh-huh, sorry, I was out of town. And he's like, you're not going to try to vote twice, are you? And I was like, no, calm down. Lock it up. I just want to vote. Let me vote.
Like, you're lucky I'm here once.
Yeah, seriously.
More or less, am I going to vote twice?
I came for the sticker, mister. Hello. I came for the I voted sticker.
Everybody wants those I voted stickers.
Mm-hmm. It makes you proud.
Why not?
It makes you so proud.
But I think that, you know, this election was interesting. I think it went as badly as I thought it was going to go. I think that, you know, the Republicans did a big comeback.
Mm.
And
they never die.
They never, you know, just like everything. Never dies. And I think that, you know, I think a lot of people expected it, but I think people are always like, oh my gosh, the Democrats got beat. They got beat so bad. This happens every time there's a new president.
Mm-hmm.
So you put a Republican president in, guess what? 2 years later, the Democrats are going to sweep it.
Yeah.
It just happens because people are, and especially now, I think times are so tough. And I think that, you know, Republicans are trying to spin that, you know, people are fed up with Obama's course of action that he's taken so far. And then you have Democrats trying to spin that, you know, people voted the way they did because they're fed up with the economy. They're not seeing what's happening. And personally, I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, I think that people are, A, fed up with the economy. I think that, you know, Obama has done a lot of things to try and help speed up the economy. But I think that you know, and I think he admitted that, you know, people aren't seeing the results fast enough.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, it's harder when, I mean, if you're out of work, I mean, are you going to go to the poll and vote for the same people for the 2 years who, you know, haven't really stepped up to the plate maybe as well as they could have?
Well, yeah, I think it's a time when people are definitely going to try to make their voices heard, and they feel empowered, and that's exactly why you should get out there and vote. But yeah, there's always a turning of the tide, always, you know. Mm-hmm. The thing that I think is, so it's the first time I've ever noticed this when it came down to the voting is, and maybe it's just because I'm getting a little older, and by older I mean I'm 22.
Mm-hmm.
But I noticed that people, my friends in particular, my age group, was really vocal.
Yeah.
About getting out there and voting, and adamant about it. And there were, you know, I have a friend who didn't change his address, didn't change his polling place, didn't register. So he went back to where he lived, and it was like a couple metro rides, mm-hmm. and he went and he voted. And it's just, it was wonderful to see that. It was wonderful to see that people my age are getting out there and they're like, I need to make this known. I need to make it heard. Like, I'm doing it,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is great. And I think that we just need to keep that in going in that direction. But they did do a little piece. I cannot remember. It was some Fox News station. And this woman was going on this bus. And she was like, the reporter was like doing interviews on
mm-hmm.
the bus.
Mm-hmm.
So who are you going to, on election day, who are you going to vote for? Blah, blah, blah. She gets this one girl. And the girl's like, so what do you think? The reporter's like, what do you think about this? And the girl was like, oh, I'm 18, I can't vote. And she goes, oh, well, you get right out to that polling place as soon as you're of age, and like walked away. I was like, are you, what are you talking about? Like, you're crazy. She's 18 years old. It was hilarious. I think I saw that on this, actually on the Soup. They were showing clips.
Maybe I would have had to have been there too.
Hey, it's funny, girl. It's funny.
No,
Vicodin, Vicodin.
Vicodin. I'll just keep remembering she's on Vicodin right now.
I think it was a cheerful story.
Oh, I like it. I'm feeling very moved by it right now, just to let you know. But no, and I think that, you know, Nancy Pelosi is out as Speaker of the House. And I honestly, people might hate me for this, but I'm glad to see her go. I think that she, to me, is everything that is wrong, I think, with Washington. And I think that a lot of people out there might disagree with that. But I think that she is just of a different era and of a different... just a different time. And I think that's the generational gap that I always am talking about. And I think there, you know, I just don't think that she is, you know, able to think outside of what she knows. I mean, she's been doing this since she was a fetus. Like, she's been there for, you know, 30 years. She's been in Washington. And I think that, you know, it's just, you need new ranks. You need the turning of the tide. You need new blood. You need fresh, and you know, fresh ideas and fresh changes. And I think that she's just not it.
New perspectives are always. But I mean, I think that along with that is going to come some growing pains mm-hmm. once the next person steps into place. And I mean, that's what happens in every form of office, everything political. There's always going to be somebody who, when change happens, people are always going to be up in arms at a certain point, you know? So it's just, now it's just riding the wave of the noobs that are stepping on board.
The newbies. But I will definitely, I'll be keeping an eye on it because I'm a little worried, because I think that when Republicans own the House and the Democrats own the Senate, I think it's very hard to get something passed when you have each branch, you know, each division owning a branch of the government. I think that it's very hard to push any type of agenda through. And I think that that is something that we really need to keep a close eye on.
Totes.
Going forward. Something else to keep a close eye on is like a new changing of the guard, I guess. Tonight premieres Team Coco over on TBS. Conan O'Brien premieres tonight on TBS.
That red-haired wonder.
You know, I personally have never been a big fan of Conan O'Brien.
Figures.
I don't know what it is to me that it is, like, if I'm watching...
tall.
Is that what
and
it
really
is?
Thin.
I'm jealous.
You are jealous because he's really tall and thin. That's what it is.
I wish I was tall
he
and thin.
He weighs 20 pounds and you weigh 21.
I will lose a pound tonight, so don't. No, and I think that, to me, the only late-night show that I can really get into is, like, Chelsea Lately.
Mm-mm, girl.
You know you can't get into that?
We've talked about this. I think that Chelsea is funny, but I have had, and if you're out there, Chelsea, you probably don't remember me, but I've had my run-ins with her, and she's got a bit of...
She's an ice queen. She seems like an ice queen.
She's
like a bitch.
Bit of a beast. Yeah. She's not a bitch, because I throw that term around in a very loving way. She's
like
a beast.
I'm a bitch.
Yeah, you're a bitch and I love you.
Yeah.
She's a beast. But I mean, who knows? She could have changed. But I think that also, that's part of her persona. She mm-hmm. likes it. She yeah. likes that thrown around. But I can't get
into her.
I can watch her sometimes, but she seems so fake other times. Mm-hmm. And she just seems like, sometimes when she smiles or laughs, it's like she's trying to be good, or I don't know. And it just seems wrong.
Yeah.
I just want her to be mean all the time, because that's how she is.
Hello.
I would think I would have more respect for her if she just was.
Yeah.
And her eyes
closed. Like Kathy Griffin. You just wouldn't want to see her being nice.
No, and she owns it. I think when Kathy Griffin is actually nice, she's just genuine. And she's not trying to be nice necessarily. Mm-hmm. But I love that bitch. That bitch I love.
Did you watch her she had a special last week, Whores on Crutches?
I did not see the new special.
That was hilarious. Her new comedy special. She's downright funny. I don't think she'll ever be on The View again.
Oh no. She's banned from The View.
She's just banned. I mean, she just let it be known that she is just full. She is fed up with Elizabeth Hasselbeck.
Well, I'm fed up with Elizabeth Hasselbeck. Hello. I do not. Mm-mm.
Really? I kind of enjoy her.
She needs to go back to Survivor, where she got her start.
Actually, I liked her. She was on this little show on the Style Network called How Do I Look? No, not How Do I Look.
She looks pregnant every other month. What is the deal with that first
of all? Design on a Dime. Do you remember that show way back in the day, Design on a Dime?
I don't remember.
She was
that.
On that show and I kind of liked it.
You can like the show, but I just don't. She's just a whiny baby rat.
But I think the show needs her. Because, I mean, how many times can you watch Whoopi in her... First of all, let's talk about Whoopi's turban in Four Color Girls.
Let's talk about Whoopi's poncho. We talked about that a little bit when...
Her turban. I love that thing. I'm like, I love Whoopi, but she really changed her shoes.
Can you
change her ponchos.
Can you believe that she and Ted danced and dated?
Are you serious? You made that up.
No, I swear to God, girl.
You don't remember
that?
How do I remember that?
Her and Ted Danson
dated. I was
like
11 and a half years old.
I was only 8.
That would make you younger than me, which is not true.
I look younger. But just like Elizabeth Hasselbeck is needed for The View because she's got that really conservative and pregnant look to her. Mm-hmm. I think Kathy Griffin is needed. I think that she stirs the pot. That's what I think is great about her. And I think it's a shame that Barbara Wawa is like...
Barbara needs to go.
Senile.
I'm not going to lie. When she was doing her little heart surgery, you know, I was knocking on wood. That's all I'm going
to
say.
Girl, you need Without to stop wishing for people to die is what you need to do. That is like the second time today. Earlier, you were wishing for a group full of people in a car to go off a bridge.
Oh, that's not nice. And what did I say? I said, I would not put in for their flower fund.
Yeah, you did.
That's
say
rude.
That.
That's evil.
That's
That's getting to know us a little bit. Mm-hmm. Speaking of getting to know us, you know, we're going to go back to that a little bit. We're going to know, do we have a little like some OCD things or things that are really like quirky about each of us that would people find very interesting? Is there anything anything about you that I would find semi-interesting?
I've
been looking for years going, I ain't found it.
Pretty much everything. I hear you outside the bathroom when I'm in there. You're always like, what is she doing in there? You're interested. Your ears are perked up.
I'm listening for the driplets in the toilet.
Trying to talk to me. I wash my hands more often than I should, which I think is just hygiene.
Are you like germaphobe?
Not like
Howie Mandel won't shake your hand. He has to fist pump you. Because he's a germaphobe.
He has to fist pump. First off, he tried to fist pump me once, and I said, Howie Mandel, do not. That's dirty. That's dirty. But no, I'm not like a germaphobe. Let's see, you finally got it. You finally get it?
I'm not going to lie. I didn't get the humor just then, because I thought you meant legitimately fist pump,
but then
I thought you meant fisting. So then it all went and over my head, and then I got it.
And then you got it.
I went for a walk, came back, and I got it.
And then here you are.
Here
Woo.
I am. Hello.
I just have to wash my hands like a lot. I can touch people and I can like touch, you know, the doorknobs and stuff, and I don't have to like click my locks like 15 times to the left before I go to bed at night. But I do like, I just wash my hands a lot. My hands are dry. But also, one thing I am a little quirky about is I will not eat or drink anything that is past its expiration date. And I think a lot of people.
Well, I think
are
a
like
lot
this.
Of people. Well, I would hope more people would be like
but
that.
But it's the expiration date isn't. It doesn't the mean that the
date.
Food. It's the sell
oh,
by.
Oh, that's true. That's true. That's true.
Which my mom points out all the time.
People pull them
like,
point that out.
Rebecca.
Too.
Well, actually, she calls me Becky. Nobody else can call me Becky. Just FYI, if you're listening. But she's like, that's just when you have to sell it by, and I'm like, no. It means it's bad.
I have to smell the milk every time I go to drink it or every time I go to pour it on my thing. Even if it's not their expiration date, I have to smell it just to make sure.
You know why I drink almond milk now? Is because you could let that shit sit in the cupboard for
years
and you'll be fine. So I drink that.
Yeah.
I think that now.
A few quirky things about me. Let me think. One thing.
Oh, you don't even have to think.
Heller. One weird thing is, it's not even that weird, but I will not use a pen without a lid. And you've seen that because we work at the restaurant. If somebody takes my lid or something,
it's a cap, girl.
A cap, same difference. I freak out. I'm like, oh my god, do you need here? Take the pen for me because I can't use that.
You legitimately freak out. Though.
Freak out.
Like, there's been times where when we are working and I borrow your pen, you watch me use it,
yeah,
and you make sure that I put the cap back.
That's true.
And I fuck with
that
you.
It really weirds me out. I don't know why. I start to shake if it's like a really weird OCD. And another a really really odd thing that I do is I can't pee sitting down.
Oh no,
I can't pee standing up.
You can't pee standing up.
And it's not because I'm
neither
I'm,
can I.
It's not because I'm dainty or, you know, gay or anything that I like sitting down while I pee, but it's because I have to
get ready for this world.
It's very interesting. I start to freak out if I pee standing up because I have to time it. It's exhausting. I have to time it perfectly. That while I'm peeing, I have to look at it go down, but then I have to time it to where I'm about 3/4 of the way done, to where I have to flush the toilet so the water is completely out of the thing by the precise time that I'm done peeing, or I start going into like freak out mode. I start like shaking and I feel weird, and then if I have to flush the toilet twice, all hell breaks loose.
Girl, this is... First off, listeners, you are getting a real intimate look at Donnie. Second of all, I mean, I think that everybody's got their weird, quirky things. Mm-hmm. I think that it is lovely that you admit them openly and are honest about them. I think
that's the first step to recovery.
I think
I will say anything. I will let it be known out there.
That's true, girl.
It's like... the world's funniest thing. It cracked me up when that girl hit me the other day in my car.
Oh yeah,
popped off on her.
For all that aren't like Facebook friends with Donnie, I got this Facebook thing, and it was like all of a sudden, what was the title of it?
You hit me and you know you did.
You hit me and you know you did, and you go and you watch this video, and Donnie apparently had his phone video on when this girl hit him, and he didn't realize it, so he's like walking around with his phone. And like saying to this woman, and I can hear in your voice, like you have different voices. And when you're serious and you're seriously pissed, you have a very different voice than usual. And you were like, you did hit me. You hit me. Why'd you pull over if you didn't hit me? You hit me and you know you hit me. Like it was just, you were so pissed and on it. What are you doing?
I was
pissed. You're doing something over there.
Get it together, girl. I was so mad because she tried to deny it. I was like, girl, how are you going to deny you hit me? You just pulled over and you're talking to me, sweetie. You recognize me for my one extra role on Desperate Housewives?
Uh-huh.
No, you didn't. You hit me. That's why you pulled over to talk to me. I'm trying to see if I can find it. We can play the video for them, girl.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So they can hear it.
They can hear it. Let's see if I can find it.
Is it? Let's see.
Yes.
Play it, girl. Oh, this is.
Hold up, girl. The fact that California Girls is playing, it just goes to the fact that I was jamming.
It's not California Girls.
That's California Girls. Oh no, Teenage Dream.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome. Let's see, this is
me. I just got more gay points than you did.
Look, listen to me. Girl. Here, all you see is my shoe.
Wait, it's about to get good, people.
You hit it, and you know you hit it.
I didn't hit it.
Yes, you did. Who else hit it, lady? This right here, you hit my car just now. That's why you looked at me, because you hit it. And this, all this right here, you just hit my car.
Why isn't my car, like, damaged? Like, there's nothing on my car.
That doesn't mean anything.
That's stupid, right?
Worst logic ever.
You hit my car because you even looked at me because you knew you hit my car. You can't lie. I will take your info right now and I'll call hit and run. Don't fuck with me, lady.
That's my favorite.
I love the part at the end. What's so weird is I didn't even know that I was recording this the whole time.
No, I know.
And I didn't even know the whole incident went down like that. Because it was funny is I was walking back from Coffee Bean with Rachel, and which is Rachel's my roommate. We were, and I was explaining to her what had happened, and I explained to her just in a very calm way, and I was like, oh, I just, you know, I ended up letting her go. Like, it was not that big of a deal, whatever. And then so we're flipping, I'm showing her a picture of the outfit that I'm going to be wearing tomorrow night at Tony Sweet's party.
Nice.
So I was showing her the outfit that I was wearing, and so I, lost train of thought, girl.
Damn, girl. I was like, when is this sentence going to end?
Oh, yeah. So I was showing her a photo And then I remembered, I saw a video and I go, oh my gosh, I remember I was recording her. Let's watch this. And then we watched it and it was 1:03 long. And I was like, I don't remember recording this at all. And then she was like, that is not how you explained to me at all. You explained to me that you were just very nice. You end up letting her go. And this video has me going, I got your info. I will call on a hit and run. Don't fuck with me, lady.
Well, the best, I think you're the fact that you got her to like admit it when your logic was, you even know you hit me because you looked at me.
That was my logic.
That's your big
you
Perry
know you
Mason.
Hit me because you looked at me.
That's your big Perry Mason logic. Oh, P.S. You have to tell me what you're wearing tomorrow because I need to see it because
yes,
I can plan what
match,
I need to wear.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's totally like do like a theme or something.
So we're excited because we also want to congratulate our dear friend, Tony Sweet.
Dearest friend.
He had his 100th show this past Friday.
Booyah.
And this coming Friday, he is having his 2-year anniversary. So that's really good. I mean, 2 years in doing this is rough. It's been, what, 3 months for us?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that
we're going to have our anniversary party. Right now.
Our 3-month anniversary party. You guys missed it.
Yeah.
We just had it.
We had it during the song.
Hello.
Sorry, guys. There was champagne.
It's been a rough road just 3 months.
I know.
And it's been up and down. It's been crazy. It's been a lot of highs. There's been some lows. I mean, we've been high.
You're
high right now. I think
honestly.
That.
Honestly. but, you know, if you want to praise us and tell us how good we're doing, you can email us at
Outspoken Radio. That's my Oprah. Outspokenradio@gmail.com. But also go to the website, www.outspokenradio.net. And you can take a survey there. We would love for you to take a survey so we can send it to advertisers. That's all we really want to do. We just want to know who's listening. We can send it to advertisers. We can get paid. Thank you.
Absolutely. And don't forget, on Saturday, be thinking of me. For my walk and check out www.stepoutla.com and you can search Rebecca Tripp. But yeah, so I'm really excited about that and I'll have some updates for you next Monday on how that went.
Awesome. And don't forget, every week here, there's other shows that they embrace us, so we embrace them. Don't forget, you can listen to the Sheena Muddle Experience Monday through Friday from 5 to 7 p.m. right here on LA Talk Radio. You can listen to The Alternative with Terry LeGrand on Sundays from 6 to 8, but he has a new show called Journey to Recovery, which is on Thursdays at 6 p.m. And then, as we were talking about, our lovely friend, Tony Sweet, who has On Air with Tony Sweet, which is Fridays from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And don't forget, you can also catch us on iTunes tomorrow, the archive, if you've missed any show. And that's it. We're going to get out of here. We're actually going to get out of here on time.
Booyah!
We're going to get out super early because there's a live show coming in after us. So we need to make sure that we are not late today.
So we vacate the premises.
And coming up on next week's show, we have Mark Cirillo, who is from the new movie, The Seminarian, which you can check out, theseminarianmovie.com or maybe .net.
Booyah.
Google one of them. You'll find it.
Google it. Just Google it.
Google.
And thank you to Danny Kofke. He was an amazing guest. Very sweet and had a lot of great tips for us all to follow.
Awesome. And we look forward to seeing you next Monday right here on LA Talk Radio. We are loud. We are opinionated. But more importantly, we are outspoken. I am Donnie Meacham.
And I am Rebecca Tripp.
And we are signing out.
Booyah. You're listening to Outspoken Radio with Donnie and friends right here on LA Talk Radio.